Fire blast. Never come up against someone like this Odyssey before. What the fuck are his tactics? Can't plan against someone who doesn't make any sense.
Makes it all the more dangerous for us, right?
Yeah. It's hard to prepare a defense when you can't figure out their attack options.
Well, instead of trying to do that, why don't you ask us what's going on?
JB looked at Niney blankly for a second, before a slow grin spread across his face.
What a stoop. I'm sorry. I should have realized. Ryan, Niney here is an escapee from Atlantis. Unlike some of our sec, he knows the Ville. I'm going for another wreck. Take him with me.
Good idea, if it gives us some kind of insight.
So while the rest of the war party waited, the two men edged toward the exit passage once more. There was still need for caution, but JB was able to make quicker progress this time. And as the two men stood as much in shadow as possible and surveyed the vista in front of them, Niney explained the significance of the building work and the timing involved.
Let's get back. I think you need to tell everyone this.
Once they had returned, Niney repeated his story to the assembled party. Ryan assimilated the information into a strategy.
That's good. You've no idea how helpful that's been. All right, people. We leave here the same way that we entered. In clusters. My group moving first and establishing a safe position. Then we cover the next group. Once we're in, we move towards Odyssey's temple. Shit, it's not hard to find, right? And we wreck, then attack. That's our position. Against us is the fact that the crawlers will be all over the Ville and they'll be waiting for us. Those of you who know the layout of Atlantis will lead us to the temple. And also tell us where we should wreck for ambush or hidden traps. What we get going for us is that most Atlanteans don't know how to fight, and in all probability will bolt. Even those that stand, no matter what we may think of them as an oppressed people, have to be fought. Maybe we'll have to chill a few to help free the many. Hell, if they got any sense, they'll leave it to the crawlers. And it'll be a pleasure to chill those cold-hearted bastards. With a little luck on our side, we should be able to reach the temple without too much of a firefight. Remember, we have blasters and we know how to use them. They use blades, and we'll want close combat. This makes it more likely they'll try to ambush us. Shoot on sight, people. It's possible that they'll hold back a little as they don't know if we're the advance party or the whole deal. Let's hope they do. But don't expect it. Okay, let's do this.
What about Jack, Ryan? He's got Lemur and Cyan.
Mildred's question stirred up some response from the Memphis sec, who had been wondering something similar. To go into battle without their leader, to leave him behind, was unthinkable.
We can't go back to look for them. It's taking too big a risk that we get lost ourselves. We've made it this far, and Jack's party entered before mine. There's nothing else we can assume other than that they just haven't... Well, that something's happened. Oh, fuck these assholes. Let's go get this idiot Odyssey, before he fucks over any more people.
It was hard for JB, Mildred, and Ryan to dismiss the notion that they may never see Jack again. Equally so for the Memphis sect to think the same of their leader and his wife. But the hard kernel of anger that had left in their gut was something to spur them on. Ryan could feel this as he and his party made their way to the portal.
We have no way of knowing if any of the others have made it through. They may have all perished.
They okay. I'd know it if they chilled.
Cyan looked away, seemingly ashamed to have even suggested such a thing. They reached another junction. Jack halted and gestured for them to be still. In the ensuing quiet, he listened for even the slightest sound. They had lost track of all the other trails, and even their own had become obliterated in the effort to recover Cyan after her flight. They were filthy, exhausted, and at least two of them were terrified. The leader and his wife were proving to be the liability Jack had suspected. He was slow and out of condition, and she was seemingly hysterical, while Mark seemed to be on edge. Jack could smell the tension coming off him. He knew that the Memphis sec chief was no coward, but wondered if the added burden of having to babysit Lemur and Cyan was proving too much. If ever Jack needed a call on his years of hunting, it was now. The scent of a charnel house hung so heavily over the maze that it was difficult to pick out anything else. He couldn't pick out his friend's individual scents, not at such a distance, but he could tell the warm musk of human scent from that of a wild beast, and he knew that they were still in the game. He turned back to his party with a rare grin.
This way. Quick.
Ryan Cotter headed for the squat white stone building that stood at a 30-degree angle from the exit portal. It was closest and seemingly empty. It was a nerve-shredding and naked run across the flat ground, the Stire held across his chest as he ran, keeping low. He was half expecting a Nightcrawler to step from nowhere. Okay, so he was being covered from the portal. That wouldn't matter if JB couldn't get a clear shot. And even if he did, blaster fire would let loose all hell. He miraculously made cover without being fired upon. His orders to the next runner were to wait until he signaled. Checking the Stire, Ryan counted five to psych himself before checking out the building. The wall he had thrown himself against had no window, and the side to his left was a porch supported by pillars. Two windows and a doorway broke its length. Swiftly and efficiently, as he had so often with buildings of different style but similar layout, Ryan checked for occupancy. A quick glance to see if anyone was passing. He was into the building, checking the rooms. They were in luck. There had been no one near the building. It was apparently unoccupied, the rooms bereft of furnishing. Within a minute, he was out again, signaling for the next member of his party to make the run. The evacuation from the labyrinth proceeded at pace, with each successive runner entering the deserted building while Ryan maintained cover. The fact that no Nightcrawlers seemed to be waiting for them, or had as yet made themselves known, played on his mind.
What are you sneaky bastards up to? Jack, where the hell have you been? No time to explain now. Listen.
The armorer filled in Jack's group on Ryan's plan. Jack and Mark stood and listened intently, but Niney, standing to one side, waiting for his chance to make the run to Atlantis, couldn't help but notice the contrasting attitudes of Lemur and Cyan. To the Memphis Secman, it appeared that his leader was distracted and nervous, whereas his wife seemed detached, almost as though she weren't really there. As Niney made his way swiftly across the open space, his mind raced faster than his feet.
Ryan, I have something to tell you.
The one-eyed man, whose face was split by a broad grin, stared over the Secman's shoulder.
I know, I can see. Get in cover, man, hurry.
Niney looked over his shoulder as he turned the corner of the building. Ryan's delight had been caused by the sight of Jack, making his run from the maze. JB was the last man to make the run, and as soon as he was clear, Ryan followed him into the house, where he found that Mildred was jubilant at the return of Jack, while the Memphis people had similar emotions over the appearance of the leader they thought lost. Realizing that there was no time for this, Ryan called them to order and reiterated his plan, for the benefit of Jack's party, and also to focus the minds of the others. He didn't notice the Secman who lurked at the back, seemingly apprehensive and searching for the right moment to raise his voice. So they left the deserted building on the edge of Atlantis, with Niney's fears and concerns unspoken. Even though they were now in the streets of a ville, rather than the woodlands, they adopted a similar formation. Once more they formed into their original groups, stringing out into a line of clusters, with Ryan at the head and JB at the rear. This way they could keep some distance between the groupings to make firing on them harder, and within the clusters they could once more shelter the weaker fighters. It was now a very strange kind of combat. Mildred had once in history classes, when she was at high school, heard the phrase, phony war. It had been applied to the beginning of the Second World War, when Britain had declared war on Nazi Germany, and long before the USA became involved. She remembered that she had been taught that there had been a period of several months in which, although both sides were at war, there had been hardly any activity. Both sides had been waiting for the other to make a move, with the emphasis being, in a sense, on which side would crack first, a war of nerves. That was exactly what this march felt like. They were making progress through the ville, toward their intended target, but there was no opposition, or so it seemed. There was, however, a growing sense of tension that an attack would come at any moment. The streets of Atlantis were virtually deserted. Many did seem to be working on the new building, swarming like ants on the scaffolding as the time of alignment drew nearer. Yet there should have been more people. Those few that they did encounter were of no threat. It was almost as though they had wandered into the line of the Memphis party by mistake, as though they weren't supposed to be there. One look and they would scuttle for cover before there was any opportunity to engage. Ryan realized what was going on. The Nightcrawlers were assessing the size of the force they were up against. For the one-eyed man, the fog of indecision and the taut air of tension was now lifted. As they moved nearer to the ville center, he knew that the point of contact would have to come soon.
Heads up, people! We're getting near the center! They can't keep us isolated any longer! Incoming!
Silently, out of nowhere, the first crawlers appeared on the road in front of them. With their darkly painted bodies and black lenses, they appeared as demons of legend rather than flesh and blood fighters. Ryan grew his Sig Sauer. The bullet seemed to go right through the crawler without affecting him. For a second, the one-eyed warrior was dumbfounded. One man descended on him with a blade, and the crawler he had fired on seemed to dissolve back into the air in the manner he had arrived.
What the fuck?
The crawler leapt at him. Ryan sidestepped and chopped at the man, using his outstretched boot to take away the crawler's leading foot. The enemy's own momentum carried him forward and down onto the dirt road. Ryan smoothly holstered the Sig Sauer and unsheathed the Panga in almost one flowing motion. By the time the crawler had rolled with his fall and come back up to his feet, Ryan was the one advancing on him. The crawler delivered an open fist blow that was intended to hit Ryan on the temple. But the one-eyed man was too quick, and before the blow even had a chance to land, Ryan had slipped inside the crawler's defense and delivered a savage blow with the Panga to his opponent's open chest. The man's face contorted in pain, and then he slumped to the ground when Ryan had freed him of the Panga's deadly support.
One asshole down.
Mildred appeared to be fighting thin air, throwing and closing on an opponent that wasn't there, at the same time leaving herself open to an attack from a female crawler who was approaching her from behind.
Mildred!
What?
Mildred whirled and drove her fist into her attacker's throat. The crawler writhed in agony, trying to suck in air with her collapsed larynx. Then she hit the ground and jerked in a death spasm.
Shit! It seems so real.
Fucking hypnotism. Watch for it.
Ryan! Over there!
Oh, for fuck's sakes.
Mythos and another of the Memphis Sect men in the group were attacking their own. Mythos headed straight for Lemure. The bulky Memphis leader was slower than anyone else and was finding the combat difficult. He stood transfixed as his own man closed on him.
For the glory of Atlantis!
Lemure was frozen, a simple target. The young Sect man's head suddenly dissolved into blood and splinters, splattering the leader and the surrounding area.
By the gods!
Watch your back, Lemure! I can't do everything!
No, of course not.
Snap out of it!
The Memphis leader's stunned gaze moved around to see his sect chief, Luger still raised, facing in his direction. He had been unable to defend himself, but his loyal sect chief had been there in the most dire moment.
Mark!
What?
In firing on Mythos, Mark had turned away from an approaching crawler. He was about to get a knife in the back. Lemure fumbled with his blaster. The enemy blade ripped into his kidney. Something hardened within the Memphis sect chief. He raised his Browning. The shots took the crawler off his feet and sprawled him to the ground.
The gods curse you all!
Not so far away, in the melee, Niney was engaged in a fight with a crawler and a sect man he had thought of as a friend. Despite the fact that he was outnumbered, he had prevented them inflicting anything other than the most superficial of wounds. But he hadn't the strength or skill to kill either of them, and he knew that he was only holding them at bay. So it was with relief that he felt rather than saw someone move in beside him to join the fight.
Thank the gods for their mercy.
You shall have your chance soon enough.
Niney's eyes widened in shock as he felt the blade slip between his ribs, and he turned to face his traitorous aggressor.
You see too much. Time for your eyes to be dimmed.
Niney slipped to the ground, life ebbing from him. Meanwhile, Ryan was taking count as best he could. He could see that he would have to marshal his troops soon. Although all the companions were doing well, there were two traitors who had turned on their own, one of whom had been killed, and there were three others who had died. Even as Ryan was taking stock, another Memphis Sect man took a lethal blow from a Nightcrawler.
Bastard!
The crawler's back dribbled red from Ryan's entry wound, his stomach spread by the wider exit wound, spilling his innards onto his still warm victim. Ryan would have to regroup his people right now, or there wouldn't be any left to regroup.
They are very strong fighters, Xerxes. It is a shame they couldn't be persuaded to our cause.
I agree, Antaeus. It is a shame that they will not be able to join with us. I believe we could learn much from them.
Xerxes took the telescope from his eye. The two men were standing on the scaffolding around the vessel, ignoring the work going on around them and concentrating their attention on the battle below. A battle so small and localized that many in Atlantis did not realize as yet that it was taking place. The crawler leader pondered his sect chief's words.
True. We will have to kill them. There are not many, but even if one should make it to Odyssey's temple, he is alone with the other two outsiders. All our men are away.
I know. What I cannot understand is why so few. Unless the one with a single orb believed that many of those in Memphis would be killed without result.